I know sometimes you might wonder, like, how do people get by in the cold? You've lived down here your whole life. I was talking to my mom yesterday. It was 0 degrees where she lived in Buffalo, 0 degrees. And I was thinking about salt. So when I grew up, everybody had bags of salt they would keep in their garage or keep in there by their front porch, because when it snowed, you'd pour this rock salt all, you'd have a cup and you'd pour it all over your porch, your steps, your driveway, whatever, to try to keep ice from forming or melt the ice that was already there. And there were times when, you know, it might be the first snow, you maybe hadn't checked how much salt you had, or you had some for last year and it sat in the garage and maybe got a little moisture in it. So when you went to pour it out, it'd be this one giant clump of salt that you would just angrily smash on your driveway and say some words that probably were inappropriate in church, and then you'd have to go buy some more salt in the snow, all those things. Now they have these nice little like ice melt pellets that probably are made in a laboratory somewhere and aren't good for anything, but you pour them and they're the perfect size, they never clump, all that. So when I think about salt losing its saltiness, that's always the image I had in my head. I would think about like the salt in the that we would put on to keep things from icing up, and when it would become one giant clump, it was just good for nothing. But Jesus actually, it didn't snow a lot in Bethlehem either, so Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus was talking about something different when he tells us, you are the salt of the earth. Now, maybe you've heard that phrase before to mean something like just a really good down-to-earth person. But if you describe somebody as a salt of the earth type of person, it usually means like a really good down-to-earth person. But that's not what Jesus means either. Jesus is saying something a little bit different when he says you are the salt of the earth. Not you will become, and not one day you might, but you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its taste, that's how our reading says it. I'm going to offer a little different translation. How can its saltiness be restored? What helped me think differently about this was two things. The first is learning a little bit about what salt was like in Jesus's time. Because if you imagine salt, you're going to think about it like how you use it. Maybe there's a salt shaker on your table. Maybe you have more than one. My wife grew up in a house where every person had their own personal salt shaker, you know, at the table. Her family loves salt, right? We all like salt. We all use it for cooking. We use it for seasoning. You know, you grill a steak, you gotta salt it. I mean, we use salt every day in our food and our cooking. And so did the Jewish people. The Jewish people used salt too, but their salt was a little different. Salt back in their day was also like preservative, right? So they didn't have refrigerators, freezers, Sam's Club, HEB. They didn't have any of those things. So when they wanted to keep meat from spoiling, they would pack it in salt. So salt, pure salt, was used to preserve meat. And then you would get house salt, like salt you would use to cook or to season your food, would be a blend. It would be mixed with other things like fennel seeds or, you know, crushed garlic, you know, whatever spice you might use would be mixed with the salt. So salt would be, it wouldn't be 100% salt. If we went to Jesus's house to have dinner in his day and we wanted to put some salt on our food, it wouldn't be 100% salt like ours is. It would be a salt mixture. So that's a little bit different than how we use salt. And then the second thing that helped was I looked at, I don't often go to the original language because our translators do an amazing job with the scripture, but sometimes there's like a hard thing in the Bible that's just tough to translate. And those of you that speak more than one language, you know, there's just like concepts and words that just sometimes aren't easily translated. And this is one of them. Because Jesus doesn't say when salt loses its taste. Jesus uses a different word, or at least Matthew does as he's writing it. He says when salt, and he uses this word moranthos. Now, if you say moranthos, that sounds like moron. You're right. That's where we get the word moron from. It means like to dumb down, to water down, to dumb down. And I think translators kind of have trouble with this. They're like, what is Jesus? How can you dumb down salt? But when you think about what salt was like in his day, the mixture, I think what Jesus is saying is, you know, you are the salt of the earth. But if our mixture, right, if you bring home salt and it's 90% non-salt and it's got 10% salt and it's been watered down, dumbed down, what's it good for? It's not, it can't do what salt does. What's the point of it? Right? It's just, it's something else. It's not salt. And so when we have that in the back of our mind, what Jesus is saying is a little different. He's not just saying, you're the salt of the earth. You're a really good down-to-earth person. He's saying, you are the salt of the earth. My people that follow me are the ones who bring something to the world that they don't have. Whether it's we bring God's love, God's message, God's light, character, mercy, integrity. I mean, we can fill a list. But he's going to say, you are bringing something unique and special to the world that it doesn't have on its own, and it makes the whole better. It makes the whole better, just like salt. Just like salt. You are the salt of the earth. There is a calling in your life and mine to bring something to the world that it doesn't have to make it better. But if the blend, right, if the salt is watered down, literally what Jesus said, dumbed down, watered down, which a lot of Bibles translate losing its saltiness, but what Jesus is saying, watered down, dumbed down, thinking about salt in his day, if it's a blend that's 20% salt, 80% other things, how does the earth get salted that way? Right? How does the world get seasoned, if we're just going to take this cooking analogy to the extreme here? How does the world get seasoned if our salt blend is 20% salt and 80% doing what everyone else does? Or 20% salt, 80% politics, or 20% salt, 80% whatever we see on social media and what's trendy, right? If that's our blend, how in the world does the earth get salted? And that's what Jesus is saying to his followers. You are the salt of the earth. No pressure, but God's plan for the world is you. Not just you, but those who call on his name, those who follow him. It's not one day I'm going to meet with all the world leaders and talk some sense into them. One day, Jesus will show up at the United Nations and just fix everything. No, he's telling us what his plan is for the world. His plan is salt and light. My people bring the salt and the light to the world. So if you're thinking, man, the world might feel dark sometimes, God's plan is more salt, more light. Salt and light. You, me, we're his plan to bring mercy and love and compassion to the world. Salt and light, you and me. And so here's what I think happens sometimes. I'm just gonna speak for myself and people I've talked to, friends, family members, right? This isn't a statement of judgment. This is just kind of how it goes sometimes. Sometimes I think we fall into the track the devil tries to get us on. And this is what I mean by that. I think what the devil would love is if you and I would look at the world and sometimes get overwhelmed or fall into despair and just feel like it's too big, it's too much, it's overwhelming. Why bother? And maybe you've had days like that. I know I've talked to family members who feel that way. I've talked to parishioners at times in their life that feel that way. There's no shame in feeling that way. There are times when things are heavy. I get it. But despair isn't a tool of the Holy Spirit. It's not a gift from God. Despair comes from the other side. And I think the plan, his plan, would love for you to feel so overwhelmed that you don't do anything. Whereas Jesus is saying, God has a different idea. You are salt. You are light in your world. That's not to say that we live selfishly, but it's to say we live realistically. In our world where we live, the people we come in contact with, our sphere of influence, right? Whether that's our family, our professional, our social circle, or all three, we are salt and we are light there. God's plan for the world is not that we take on every big problem and carry it and feel overwhelmed. God's plan is that we in our own world are salt and light. And if everybody did that, we might be onto something. That's God's plan. So I want to encourage you, if you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, if you find yourself feeling a little bit of despair, those days happen. I hear them, I feel them, I understand. But that's not God's plan, is to just say, why bother, or to get so overwhelmed by things or anxious about things that we never, that we think, what's the point? God's plan is that we look at the people that we've been called to be in relationship with, the people that we love, the people that we have contact with, and that we be salt and light to them. Because you never know. You never know. You know, there's a saying, you've heard it before. You've heard it before where someone said this, you might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. Right? Your life might be the only way someone sees what a Christian looks like. You never know the effect you being salt and light might have on someone in your world. We may not be able to fix every problem in the world right now. I can't, you can't. But in our world, we never know what the effect of being salt and light might be. So I want to encourage you, especially if you find yourself feeling heavy, don't forget about what Jesus said. You already are what you're called to be, salt and light. You never know in your world who's waiting for that witness. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.